The book of Nehemiah. Book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Nehemiah, chapter 2. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank You for this day. Truly, Lord, the blessings that You give us each and every day of our life. Lord, I ask that You would be with each one here this morning. Lord, I ask that You would look into our hearts. Lord, see what we need, what You would have us to have from Your words. Lord, if there be one here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, Lord, that they would get saved. Lord, if there is a believer in here this morning that, Lord, is not serving You the way they should or the way they could, Lord, we ask that You would burden their heart, that they would, Lord, do what You would have them to do. Lord, I do ask You lay on my heart and tongue the words You would have me to say. Lord, it's not about me. It has nothing to do with me. But it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Boy, isn't it awesome that we serve a living God. Amen. He got up out of the grave, what, last week? Is what we celebrated. The problem is we get over into about this week and maybe next week and maybe 3 months from now, and we all get back in that slump again. We've got to keep that in our mind on a daily basis that, guess what? Jesus got up out of the grave. He arose. He's in heaven. And we serve a living God. Amen. And hey, that's 100% guaranteed promise right here on the authority of the Word of God. But not only that, I know in my heart that Jesus is alive. I see Him work in my life daily. Amen. I couldn't go through every day without that. The people that don't know the Lord Jesus, hey, I feel bad for them. They don't know what it is to have hope. We've got hope in a living God. Amen? That's good stuff. That'll even get a Baptist excited, Miss Annie. It will. Boy, it gets you happy. Nehemiah, he was a super leader. And Nehemiah felt bad for his countrymen because the walls of Jerusalem had come down. They had been in captivity and they were able to go back, but they were a reproach. In other words, an embarrassment. They were horrible looking, I guess, is what you could say. And Nehemiah had compassion and he had a vision. He started praying and God started opening up doors. I want to tell you something. You start praying for things, God will start opening doors for you. If it's for His work, you can count on it. The doors will get open and ain't nobody going to stop it. And Nehemiah got that vision and was praying and God opened the doors. And then Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem and he didn't tell a soul. He walked in there and he looked at it all and then all of a sudden he let them know. He said, "This is what my God has done. This is what my God's laid on my heart and let's get busy." And the people said, "Yeah, let's have a mind to work." That song that Sister Judy just sang. Listen, we have an entire... You know, an old guy told me one time, if you're going to go fishing, you need a good fishing hole. Boy, what better fishing hole than right out here? Wow. Nevada is a fishing hole. You know, big time. They got some big fish here. That's a good point. But Nehemiah wanted to get this done and wanted to get this rebuilt. And the people said, we have a mind to work. And then if you read over, go over to chapter 4, verse 6, he said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah was a leader. He was a godly man. He was gifted from God. And he was one of those leaders that you would follow into whatever. And in our life, whether you be in the church, whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whatever it may be, you need to be that kind of leader that your family will be willing to follow wherever you go. Now, this is the scary part of it, though. They do follow you whichever way you go. It doesn't matter whether it's a good way or whether it's a bad way. It affects them. And we've got to make sure that we're setting the right example, that we're doing the godly thing, that we're sticking to what God has told us to do and get after it. Because, listen, we've got an enemy that hounds us. Now, without reading all this, Sanballat and the boys, I call them, Tobiah and Geshem the Greek or whatever it was he said, they set out to destroy what Nehemiah had started. That was their idea. That's just Satan. Satan's going to do that. He's going to jump in and he's going to start pushing to get his agenda done. He wants to stop the work of God. And he knew that, you see, the Israelites, they were God's chosen people. You know why? They were to set the example for the rest of the world. They went into captivity for 70 years for what? Because they wasn't setting the right example. Nehemiah brought it back up, and that, man, you can read Ezra. They had a unreal revival there, and if you continue reading Nehemiah, you'll find out about it. But they really, he got them excited and got them back on track where they needed to be, but the enemy's always there. He's always there to give us a problem. The enemy tried fear with them. The enemy tried ridicule with them. He tried discouragement with them. But you know what? Nehemiah stood firm, and so they stood firm. And that's what we've got to do. As leaders of our home, as moms, dads, grandparents, you've got to stand firm on the Word of God. You've got to stand firm for God to set that example for little guys like this right here. Because listen, they're watching us. They are. And we've got to set that right example, and they will continue to walk on the path that where they need to go on. We've got to set up that because, listen, Satan is out there playing the game. He wants to put a stop to everything. His main goal is to put fear in you and discouragement in you. You know what fear does to a believer? It paralyzes your life. That's exactly what it does. It paralyzes the life of a believer where they can't do a thing. But hey, we don't have the spirit of fear. We're not given the spirit of fear. Listen, we are a child of the King. We don't have to worry about all that. Romans 8:15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Listen, I get in a bind, man, I'm like, what am I going to do, Lord? I can run out, I can drop, and I can say, God, help me, I'm in trouble. And He's there. He's right there. He promises me He will be. So I don't worry about it. I say, you know what, I get in a bind. Boom, He's there to help me. Listen, I went through 10 years of problems doing this number here. But you know who helped me get off drugs? That's right. Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know who keeps me off of them? Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Him, I will fall flat on my face. I'll be right down there at the county lockup wearing orange, if that's what they wear here. I know they wear that in Lincoln County, Kentucky. I've got to have Jesus. I've got to have Him backing me so that I can back this little guy. That's exactly... See, I don't have no kids here. I got it made. No, I got a bunch of people right here that they all watch what the pastor does. And the pastor goes out here and cops an attitude with somebody over a coffee pot. Took 3 weeks. I kept my cool with him. But we did get a coffee pot. Amen. And guess what? I can still go do business with him and witness to him and keep trying to invite him to church because I didn't hit him. That's a good thing, right? Yeah, see, even Brian agrees with me. So, listen, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take that stand for God. We're not given that fear of we don't have to worry about it. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Paul, you know why Paul was so effective? That's why he wrote Galatians 2:20. When he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Listen, he didn't care what people thought. He didn't care what people were going to do. Because he didn't care what they did to him. Because he had no fear. Because listen, to be absent from this body, amen, to be present with God. I am not jumping up and down out in the highway screaming and hollering trying to get run over. But I ain't worried about what they can do. Because they really can't harm somebody that's dead. Amen? Paul said, I died already. And the only reason I'm still around is because Jesus is living through me. And we've got to get that kind of heart and that kind of mindset to serve the Lord. So we walk up to a door, step to the side in case they shoot. But we walk up. We don't have to be scared of what's going to come from that other side. We don't have to be scared when we approach somebody out here. I don't have to worry about it. When I go see the homeless on Sunday mornings with Brother Craig and a bunch of other people in here go with us, I don't have to have a fear of what's going on. I've been down there at nighttime. It ain't the safest place in the world. And the same people that are there at night are there in the morning. They're waiting to eat. I don't worry about it. It's like, you know what? We go down there, we present the Word of God, we give them some clothes, we give them food, and if we all get killed down there, well, so be it. I'll be in heaven, bless God. And I ain't got to... There I'll be. I'll miss you. But hey, I'll see you when the rapture happens. Amen? So we've got to have... We've got to be willing to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There's three important words there. That word power is taken from dunamis, which really and truly is where we get our word dynamite from. So, hey, we're saved. We got the Holy Spirit living in here. We got God's power. We're like dynamite, Martin. Yeah, I got it. I don't have to worry about it. Listen, I've got that power. I've got the Lord Jesus within me. I just got to be willing to release it and let Him take control. And then he said in their love, he used the agape love, affection, goodwill, benevolence, desire to do good to others, even though they might not do good to you. Whew, that one's rough. But if I've got the power, guess what? I can do it. I can't do it without it. Because see, before I got saved, I just didn't knock you on your hind end. Then I had to deal with you. But now it's like, well, I got that love for you. You know, we just have to say, I can do all things through Christ when they make you mad. And listen, the Lord will help us. Sound mind. My wife says I'm not sometimes real sound-minded. But I am under self-control. Really, that's what that means. We got self-control. And we've got to have that. That's important. All right. Let's hurry along here. But if these tactics don't work, don't worry, don't fret. Don't panic. Satan's got plan B. He always does. He's got a plan B. You don't have to worry about it. Let me ask you a question. Is everybody comfortable, hot, cold? We're going to fix it. Because if you're as hot as I am up here, it ain't good. Now, it might get real cold before it's over with, but Listen, never fail. Satan's got a plan B. Go to chapter 6 of Nehemiah. Chapter 6 of Nehemiah. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat, Geshem, sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Now, Ono was about 25 or so miles out of Jerusalem going towards Samaria. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I could not come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same matter. If you can't whip them, join them. Right? No, but that's what Satan says. Our enemy has tried fear. He'll try discouragement. He'll try all of these things. But then he's just like, you know what? I know what I'll do. If I can't whip them, I'll just join them. And then I'll take over from the inside. See, that's the way Satan works. He don't play fair. He ain't going to come at you head on. He's going to come up from behind. He's going to sneak in the back way, and he's going to cause you problems. And you get that voice, oh, come on down here. You see, Sanballat and them guys said, you know what? We can't stop the work. We got to fix this problem. They've done built this wall. They're about to repair the gates and restore all the gates. We need to stop it now. How can we do this? Oh, Nehemiah, you need to come down to Ono. Let me tell you something, Brian. You don't want to go to Ono. Ono ain't a good place. When you get to Ono, to be, oh, no. You done messed up. Listen, Ono is a compromise, is what it is. People start working from the inside. They'll sneak in, and they want you to compromise. Well, you know, we can compromise on this. I mean, this little doctrine here is not a big deal. We can compromise over here a little bit. You know, we can compromise there. And before long, you ain't preaching the gospel no more. That's what happened in churches all over America. And, well, I'll just tell you, all over the world. But we'll stick to America. That's what happened to all over America. Churches compromised here. They compromised there. Listen, there is no good in compromising. That's going to Ono. You need to get back on the wall of Christianity. Don't go to Ono, because Ono is where the problem's at. When you get there, you'll say what? Oh, no. That's right. And by the time you get to, oh, no, and you're saying, oh, no, it's too late. And you got all kind of complications because of that you got to live with from now on. See, if Nehemiah had got off the wall and went down to, oh, no, they'd have killed him. They'd have got him along the way. They'd have ended him. And without Nehemiah, they figure, hey, we can get in there and stop it. Now, I believe this, though. God had a plan, and His plan was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He's going to get done with or without Nehemiah. But it's for our example. We don't want to compromise. As a church, you do not want to compromise on the teachings of what God's Word says. If it's in black and white, you stick to it. If it's about this book right here, we might can talk about it. But if it's about this book right here, we're going to stick with it 100%. Amen? We don't compromise. You don't go to oh no on this. Well, guess what? You don't go to oh no on that at home either. See, that's the problem. Too many... You know why our country's in the shape it's in? Went to oh no. Too many families went to oh no. There's things go on in people's homes that I promise you, when they were growing up, wouldn't have happened in their house. Daddy wouldn't have allowed it. And I guarantee you, his daddy wouldn't have. There's people that... Well, I don't want to go there. People do things today out in public that I wouldn't do in private. Amen? Why? Because they went to oh no. Why? Because mom and dad went to oh no. That's what happens when we start compromising in one little bitty area. That's where we go. That's what they wanted Nehemiah for. They wanted to get Nehemiah out of the picture. And then you get in big trouble. Everything starts going downhill from there. You know what? Listen to what this fellow says. This is a quote. Give me just one generation of youth, and I'll transform the whole world. You know who said that? Vladimir Lenin. Communist. All he said he needs. Come here, Carly. All he needs is just these two guys right here. Just for one generation. And he can change everything. That's it. That's all he needs. And he can change everything. Let's see. Brother John, you're 71. Pushing 72. How old are you, Brian? Huh? 9. You look like you're 13. There's a big difference there. But what you got to wonder is when Brother John's gone, is he going to take the stand Brother John takes? But guess who that's up to? All of us. We got to continue teaching the Word of God and not go to oh no. Not just at church, but here at home, at our job sites. What's happening in 2014 that hopefully is going to be exciting? We got some election coming up. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That ain't my place. But I will tell you this. If you don't vote the Bible, you got a problem and you're going to live with it. Our nation ain't been voting the Bible in a long time. And we got lots of problems. And it didn't just happen with the one we've got now, by the way. He's in office. Live with it. God put him there. Respect the man for who he is. I don't have to like what he does, but he is my president. I said that. He is. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to vote. When we vote, we use the Bible. We're to test everything by the Word of God. If you ain't, you're messing up. What kind of movies should we watch? Test it by the Word of God. What kind of language should we allow in a house? Test it by the Word of God. Did Jesus use that language? Then don't use it. Amen? Come on. That's right. Did Jesus dress that way? Or maybe I better reframe that because I don't wear a robe and sandals. But let me ask you something. Was Jesus modest or immodest? I'd say he's modest. I don't believe he walked down the road with his jeans down around the bottom of his dad-blamed calves. I ain't figured that out. That don't make sense to me. If you get scared and run, you're going to fall. And most of them can't fight back because they got one hand on their pants holding it up. Really, I don't understand that. We are to be modest with our dress. We're not to go out here and mock everything the world does. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us, do not form to what the world is. Well, I like how the world's looking. Well, fine. Get your life right with Christ and you won't. Jesus would have wore cinch jeans if they'd had them back then. No, I don't know that. What I'm trying to tell you is we're to be modest with what we... We're to have the kind of character that Christ had. What did He have? He loved people. He had compassion on people. He got angry and He sinned not. He run them out with a whip though one time. You ain't going to tell me somebody slinging a whip around ain't hit somebody. I'm going to come in here with a bull whip one night and I'm going to just start popping it and we'll see if I can get close to you. I promise you it hit somebody. He run them out of the temple. Got them out of there. Because, listen, they were doing wrong. We can get angry about things. We're to take a stand for the Word of God. We're to take a stand in our church. We're to take a stand in our home. And we're to take a stand in our country. And we need to continue that. And we need to put it all with the test of God. You run it by the Bible. If the Bible says it's okay, go for it. If it don't, you better back off and leave it alone or you'll wish you had it. They wanted him to go to Ono. Listen, today the world wants you to go to Ono. It really does. The world is more interested in wanting you to go there, compromise. I've had more than one preacher come to me. Not here. But when I was in Kentucky, when I was in Colorado, pastoring, I've had them come to me and say, you know, brother, we need to set aside all this doctrine stuff. Oh, you mean all of the epistles? Yeah, all we need to do is just present Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the main thing, is getting everybody saved. We don't have to worry about all the other stuff. If we didn't have to worry about all the other stuff, then Peter wouldn't have died making sure everybody knew about it. Paul wouldn't have lost his head making sure that he wrote the letters about it. Amen? Jesus wouldn't have died on a cross telling the boys all about it. You think for 3 years he didn't teach them something? Yeah, he did. He taught them what he wanted us to know right here in the Word of God. We don't compromise for that stuff. You got to take that stand in your church. And in your home, at your work. You know, Jack Martin, our evangelist who came out last year for Cowboy Camp, he'll be back this year. I used to get a kick out of him. Me and him trucked a lot together. We all had the CB radios. Somebody would come on there and they'd be cussing and ranting and raving and then they'd throw God's name into it. They always do. And Jack would tell him, listen, God's last name ain't damn. What'd you bring him into it for? And that was a fact. Why? We need to stand up for that. When we're around a bunch of people and they all start foul mouth and cussing and they bring Jesus' name into it, God's name into it. You know, I've heard people say, well, Jesus hates Christ. Listen, it ain't Jesus hates Christ. He's an almighty God. He's risen. He's in heaven. He's alive today. Don't blaspheme my Savior. Blaspheme Karl Marx if you want to, or you can use my name, but don't use my God. We need to take that stand. Too many of us just walk away and went, no, we need to tell them, hey, you need to clean your mouth up. It's foul. Even if you ain't a Christian, you ought to tell them that. When I was a young man, I'm going to tell you something. You would not have heard the language that I hear coming out of women's mouth. You wouldn't, today, you wouldn't even hear it come out of a man's mouth in a crowd. They'd have been off over here in a corner doing it somewhere. We've got to take that stand. Our country has went way downhill because we've set God on the back burner. We went to Ono. We've got to stand up and say, end. We're going to take a stand for God. Why should I fear what everybody's going to do anyway? Because, hey, I've got the Lord Jesus. I ain't worried about them. We've got to get that mindset and that in our heart. Because at the rate our country's going, we're going to need it big time one day. We don't suffer persecution here, but it's coming. If the Lord tarries, days like this are going to get few and far between. If we take the stand, we may end up going to jail for it. It's getting pretty close to that now. So where's your heart at with Jesus? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I ain't sure I'd go to heaven. Listen, Jesus loves you. God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Well, I need to clean up a little bit. Brother Craig was preaching this morning to the homeless. He said, listen, if you're going to clean up a little bit before you get saved, you ain't going to get saved. You can't clean up. You can't. You go wash all you want. You let Jesus clean you up. Jesus is the one that can clean you up. And when God looks down there, you know what God can't do? He can't see my sin. All He sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, when He looks at me, that's what He sees. I'm saved. That's what He sees me washed in the blood. Boy, that's good, isn't it? I am thrilled beyond words that Jesus got up. Amen. Whoo, that's good. I serve a living God. Let's stand. We're going to have a song of invitation.